Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three here on a Meatloaf Monday. We don't have a sound effect for that. We just like to talk about it. Meatloaf Monday. But I spent the last little bit opening up the second dipper for the day. I call this one Policy Matters, because we're talking about matters of policy, but I think it also should be said that policy matters. And policy, if you can't espouse your policies accurately, then you have to question whether you even have any principles. And anyway, that being said, you guys hear me talk all the time, but there's other people out there that are a lot smarter than me on this stuff, and one of those is Stephanie Smith, who is the president of the Alabama Policy Institute. Stephanie Smith has a long record of working in administrations in both Montgomery and in doing things in and around the federal side and working on matters of policy with API, and she's on the phone right now. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, but now I'm completely distracted trying to figure out what kind of sound Meatloaf would make.
Exactly. We've been doing the same thing. We're pretty sure
it's
there's
like that old "What does the fox say?" You have to just make up
it now. We've had multiple people like text to say you ought to use a song by the guy Meatloaf who sang in the 80s
or
70s.
Okay, and you could go with that. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, but then somebody else pointed out there was a great quote from Leave It to Beaver about Meatloaf, and I may have to find that one.
I'll have to figure that one out. My sons like to watch Leave It to Beaver, so
all I know is I bet Kamala Harris doesn't even like Meatloaf. I bet. I don't think so. She's just like that.
She doesn't strike me as much of a Midwesterner. When I think about Meatloaf, I think about the Midwest and the what the elites call the flyover state. But I mean that's a perfect segue into what you're talking about, which is, what do people really believe, and how does that push the buttons on what they think is good public policy? I actually got into a Twitter X, whatever we call it now, discussion, healthy discussion, as my parents used to call their fights, a healthy discussion with an individual that, of course, was anonymous on Twitter that literally asked me a very pertinent question, although he didn't understand it was so pertinent, and that's exactly what you're talking about, which is, we're hosting this worldview event with the Family Policy Council in October, and it's basically training on, if you see the world with a Christian worldview, what should you be saying, thinking, doing about some of these issues that we're dealing with on a daily basis. And I posted the information about the event, and he said, "What does faith have to do with public policy?"
Oh, really?
And of course, my response was everything.
Everything.
Because everything. I mean, if your faith, and then we went back and forth, but if your faith is not informing your opinion about what's happening in our society, and if your faith is not forming your opinion on your vote or on what you think is right or wrong politically, then it is a false faith.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times, like for instance, on a pro-life bill, I'd have somebody attack me on social media and say, Don't be down there mixing your faith with my politics. And I'm like, look, I got elected to be who I am. I didn't get elected just to go out there and blow with the winds. You elected me, and I carried my faith and my principles with me, and I vote accordingly.
That's right. And it's interesting, on the abortion issue, Kamala Harris has her little shtick down, and she's just repeating these talking points ad nauseum. And one of them that she's repeating is, you don't have to abandon your faith to be pro-abortion. And that's one of those things that's one of those things you kind of, hear, and then you kind of hold your head sideways, like, hold on a second. I'm not exactly sure that came out quite like she meant it, but how I take it is that, basically people of faith can be for the execution of children, and I find that really hard to find in my Bible.
I did a monologue on that very thing the other day. I used that issue that she had tweeted out, and how what we didn't hear was the church calling her out. We did hear some great people like Tony Dungy and John Rich and some others called her out hard.
Yep.
But we didn't hear church leadership call her out for saying such things. And my point was, we need the church to speak up, but. In this particular case, I mean, you've been a part of, like, you worked for the Riley administration, I believe.
Right.
And my recollection of Governor Riley, and granted, there were times when people didn't like Governor Riley, but what I always liked about him was you knew where he stood. And that was because he had he had policies, and he had principles. He had lines he didn't cross, and he had some that he was going to cross no matter what.
That's right. Well, and he had a plan. I mean, that's what I really appreciated about him, which was he had a plan, and his plan was based on something, and the something was what his belief system was.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're talking about, which is, you know, the understanding that everybody brings their experiences to their decision making, and everybody brings their faith, whether or not it's faith in secularism, whether or not it's faith in relativism, whether or not it's faith in humanism, or whether or not it's Christian or Judeo-Christian type faith. Everybody brings their experience to the table when they're making decisions. And so that's why it's such a pleasure to work for API, because it is a group of people who use the same lens that I use, which is a Christian worldview lens about what is right and what is wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that we, you know, we want only Christian people to have any say-so. That's not what it means. But what it does mean is that we think that our ideas are the best ideas for the most people, and we're going to promote those ideas and use the Christian worldview lens to see the world, because we believe that that's the truth.
But that also does is it creates stability. People don't realize that when you establish a policy, when you bring a matter of faith or principle into the dynamic of what you're doing and setting your policies, that it creates security, because people know where you stand. They know what the expectations are. They also know what they can and cannot get away with, so to speak. And they also know if something bad happens tomorrow, what the expected result's going to be when your administration takes over and deals with it. And what we're looking at right now, I think it was, what's her name that just did the piece? Is it Stossel? No, it wasn't Stossel. It was, anyway, just did a piece in the Wall Street Journal. They called Kamala Harris the artless dodger, and because she will not tell you what she believes, or she will dodge what your questions are.
Or she'll inherit your own talking points. I mean, there were several times during the debate where I was like, well, that sounds familiar. You know, kind of the joke that Trump had about, well, I should get you a hat. Is one of those things, you know, you kind of are like, wait, that's our talking point, and exactly the opposite of what you've been espousing for your entire career. And that's when you know that you're being talked to by somebody who's being led by polling data and not by principle.
Yeah.
And the things that she is espousing that are kind of, you know, the conservative side on immigration or on fracking or on, you know, different economic policies, those are things that are polling well. And that's why she's saying that. It's not that she's had, you know, turned the page or turned her cheek or changed her philosophy. It's that's what's polling well, and she's trying to win, which is frustrating, because that's exactly why people don't trust politicians, because they're one person when they're running and they're another person when they're governing. That's why you have to pay attention to people's character. And you have to make sure that you have common principles and common belief system with the person that you vote for, so that, you know, that foundation is similar and that foundation is there, because the people that we're voting for are supposed to be representing us.
Well, and I watch some of the people that are, you know, allegedly Republicans who just are going to vote for Kamala, but and they've lost sight of policy altogether. They're voting on personality at that point.
Right. And 100%.
And voting on personality is never going to wind up being the best solution.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Movie stars make a living on personality. Politicians should make it on policy.
I totally agree. And that's why the platform matters. That's why the policy matters. That's why the framework matters, even more so than whoever is at the lead of the party or at the lead of the organization that, you know, that you're voting for. It's what's written down. It's what the mission is. It's what the goal is. It's what the history is, and the value system that the organization and the person brings to the table with them, in addition to their personality. The personality is just the least important of all of those.
Well, speaking of personalities, but also policies and platforms and character and all of it. You guys have a pretty neat event coming up this coming Thursday with somebody who I'm a fan of. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, we're really excited to bring Ben Carson back to the state of Alabama. Dr. Ben Carson and his wife Candy will be in town on Thursday for our annual meeting, which is actually our 35th anniversary as well. as an organization. And I will tell you, in the 6 months that I've been talking about this event since we decided to ask Ben Carson to come and speak and talk about his new book about families being the cornerstone of society, I have yet to hear one negative comment about Ben Carson. He is just very well respected by everyone in the state of Alabama and really a lot of people on both sides of the aisle. He's truly lived the American dream. And we're looking forward to hearing from him. So we're glad you're going to be there with us, Phil and Charlene, and so many of our friends and supporters there to celebrate our 35th anniversary on Thursday night.
Well, I think you're knocking it out of the park, not just with API, but by also having him there that night. So good on you, and we look forward to seeing you.
All right.
My friend, Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute. Folks want to find out more about you and where you are, tell them how to find you.
You can find us on all the social media outlets and then also on alabamapolicy.org.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. I'll see you Thursday.
Okay. Thanks, Phil.
All right. See you. Bye-bye. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break right now, but that's so good, man. You got to know. Policy. Tell your friends, well, I just don't know if I can vote for Trump. Tell them it's about policy. It's not about personality. Policy is what tells you their character. Policy is what tells you what the expectations are. Policy is what gets the jobs done. Personality, that's for movie stars. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.